It's winter time here on the Beer Coasters podcast with Anderson Valley, Fish, Blue Moon, and Cisco.
In the winter time, when all the leaves are brown and the wind blows, and the birds.
Let's crack it.
Always good when you underestimate the beer.
I am straight craftus erectus right now.
Oh, don't drink that beer. That's for the bugs. Here, have this wine.
This is not a science class.
Well, hello. Welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm your host this week, Mike from Boston, and guess who's with me this week?
Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And Brittany from Denver, Colorado.
All right.
Wow. Yep, I'm in Denver this week. Committed to the show.
On the road, and she still stops to drink a beer with us.
Yep. Right.
And she's definitely in the right climate to be doing the show this week.
Yeah.
Did I tell you guys that it's 3 degrees here? Or it was?
Yeah, you may have mentioned it a couple times.
I can't even describe the level of cold it is here. Well, not now. It's warmed up a little bit. It's like 27 degrees now.
Oh, wow.
So it's a little bit more tolerable. But
open a window.
3 degrees. Yeah.
Put some shorts on.
It was 3 degrees, I think, Monday night. It was really, really cold.
Yeah. Well, we are doing the winter releases this week. All our winter ales, either winter warmers or, you know, winter style beers. And for our fermentation conversation, we're going to try Anderson Valley's Winter Solstice, which I'm looking forward to. I haven't had this beer in quite some time, and it used to be one of my kind of go-to winter ales. So I'm curious to see how it measures up now after all these, you know, after all this time.
After all these beers.
After all these
beers. Yeah, and we have them in a variety of vessels this week, too. Toby's got the bottle. You and I have got the can.
We got cans.
Should be interesting.
Yep.
I haven't ever drank. I've never had an ale out of a can.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
So I am in for a treat, I believe, because I think I like soda out of a can. It's my guilty pleasure, I know. So I'm assuming that I might prefer beer out of a can as well.
I like pork and beans out of a can.
Just right over the campfire.
Yeah.
Crack them open.
Nice. Okay.
For tasting flights this week, Toby, what are you going to try?
I'm trying the Fish Brewing's Winter Fish.
Ah.
The Fishtail Winter Fish.
Brittany, what are you trying this week?
I am having, first of all, I love Blue Moon. So when I saw, when my assignment was to get a beer with winter in the name, and I saw Blue Moon Winter Abbey Ale, I couldn't pass it up. I had to get it. So
cool.
I'm drinking Blue Moon Winter Abbey Ale.
Sweet. Nice.
And a Colorado brewery, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Which it worked out right. So it worked out perfect.
Local.
I'm in Denver. I'm drinking local. We're all good.
Local's fresh.
It should be fresh.
And speaking of local, I got a little local, not too local, but local enough. It's Cisco's Winter Shredder. It's their new winter ale from Cisco Brewing Company.
This is a fermentation conversation.
This is the Anderson Valley Winter Solstice, as we mentioned. It's from Anderson Valley Brewing Company out of Boonville, California. Their website is www.avbc.com. ABV on this beer is 6.9%, and the IBUs are a whopping, tongue-twisting 6.
Awesome. Yes.
All right, let's crack it. Toby, you crack it first.
Toby first.
All right.
Okay, Mike, ready? Go.
Ready.
Ooh. Nice. In stereo.
Yeah. Be cool if we could do that. Gotta get a whole THX setup so it sounds like we're all over the place.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we should totally do this show in 5.1.
I totally want to.
Yeah, I got a little
a little aggressive there also.
Oops.
I got, yeah, like, man, three fingers ahead. Man, the head is going here.
Crazy on this thing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine too.
I got good two Yeti fingers right there.
I got like two Yeti thumbs.
Wow, that's a double hitchhiker.
I don't know. So, I don't think my fingers qualify for measurement, so what do you think?
I would say you probably have a Yeti finger.
Yeah.
Ish. Maybe a little more.
Ooh. So
do we do half a Yeti fingers?
Besides the head on this beer, it's got an interesting reddish color. It's almost
Yeah, it's very amber, like it starts to like get a
red amber.
Red. Yeah.
It's very red.
Yeah.
It's really pretty. It's clear. Do you notice how clear it is?
Yeah.
Crystal clear. Decent amount of carbonation.
Got some big frothy bubbles in the head too.
Yep, yeah. I got giant bubbles too. They look like pearls when you look through the glass.
Yeah. Ooh. Leave it to a girl to talk about pearls. Jeez.
Oh, shut up.
Wait. She's got to drop a couple of diamonds in her glass before she takes a sip.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm not that shallow, okay? Serious?
I'm not.
God.
Dude, she's drinking beer out of a can.
Yeah.
Do you want me to come back to the show? I'm like your most committed guest host ever.
I think so.
And we appreciate it.
Besides Gina.
So on the news.
On the nose.
I get hops, but it's not very strong at all. And I can't place which one.
Like a buttery apple.
I don't get apple, but I definitely get the butter.
I get a toasty, like a toastiness. Almost like a, I was going to say cinnamon toast, but it's not that.
Yeah.
It's not but super it is, cinnamon-y.
Well, maybe like a toasted cinnamon, you know? It has kind of almost like
I think buttered toast is probably more.
With the butter, yeah.
Some caramel.
What else is there?
I guess it's a sip. I can't keep smelling.
It smells really
anymore.
Good.
It's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
There's lots of little subtle.
Bit of molasses in there, too.
Yeah.
Stuff in the nose. It's all, but nothing that you can like put your finger on, you know, like that. It's really like, it's lots of little vague.
It's all something that's bready, you know, or
yes,
like
definitely
doughy.
I think that's the malt. It must be.
You know.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, creamy.
Once again, it's got that Anderson Valley creamy, creamy butteriness.
Oh, that's tasty. Yep. Really soft, really,
kind of a caramely sweetness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of like an English ale.
Yeah.
It's funny, Mike, that you and I were talking off mic about English beers.
Yeah.
But it has that real like sweet malt character. The IBUs, of course, are non-existent. I mean, down at 6, of course, so you don't get any of that of
no,
the
but
bitterness
you smell
from
it
the
a
hops.
Little bit.
Yeah.
You smell it a little. It's definitely in the
nose.
It's
got like an orange peel in the scent to me. Not like a really bright
like
citrusy
orange.
Hop, but like an orange peel kind of.
Yeah. Like a dried kind of a, like what you would smell in kind of a potpourri, but not quite as strong.
Yeah.
There's even a
yeah, because all those spices are, I mean, they're all over the place. You're getting kind of a cinnamony,
I'm not getting cinnamon, but maybe that's just me.
Do you guys get the chocolatiness from it?
Maybe
it seems
maybe
a little chocolatey.
Mm-mm.
I'm getting caramel, but it's not getting as deep as a, like chocolate. It's more of a creamy kind of caramel.
Yeah, super
beer
creamy.
Isn't as big.
Well, caramel has a butteriness to it too, so I'm thinking that's where what I don't want to pinpoint caramel because that's not really what it is. Mm. It's more of that soft, buttery, creamy flavor that I'm getting.
Mm. This is.
Yum.
This is
delicious.
It's funny because it doesn't strike me as a like a winter beer. I mean, more of a fall, I guess. Because most of the winter warmers you have are big on the spices, big on the hops, you know, big on the ABV.
I expected this to be bigger in the alcohol, too, with you know, being the winter warmers. But I don't know. I think
this is super drinkable.
Surprisingly similar to the summer solstice.
Yeah.
It just has kind of a more, you know, caramely-ness to it that the summer solstice doesn't have as much. Summer solstice almost is like a vanilla cream.
Yeah.
Where this is more like a caramel cream.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree. This is really delicious. I like it a lot.
Now, this is something you could bring to a holiday party or whatever, and everybody would enjoy.
I think, you know, have this with like a ham or a turkey would be very interesting, especially with ham, especially like a honey baked ham, to see how that honey glaze with this beer and how it kind of plays back and forth with it would be interesting.
Yes, good call.
I'm thinking something with bacon.
Yeah.
Like an applewood smoked bacon.
Yep. I'm trying to think what...
Breakfast beer.
Yeah, I'd have this beer with pancakes.
Yeah, totally.
You know what? I had this tonight, and this beer would have gone really well with what I ate for dinner tonight. I had a warm spinach salad with bacon and egg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This would be really good with that.
It's not as big as I remember the beer being, but I think it's because I kind of experienced this beer kind of early on. Well, we'll talk more about that in last call, I guess. But
yeah.
Rate Beer rates this 92 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this a B+, and the Alstrom Brothers rate it an A-.
Really? B+?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like it. It's really good.
If you guys, check this out, because I've spoken to a few people who have not tried this beer and are familiar with Anderson Valley, and if you're familiar with Anderson Valley, you should try this beer.
Yeah.
And the website is, like I said, it's avbc.com. Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com. Click on the Gemini Lounge logo and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
I'm more out west than Brittany this week.
Yep.
Wow.
You win.
So I am trying, for my winter release beer, I am trying the Winter Fish from, the official name is Fishtail Organic Winter Fish from Fish Brewing out of Olympia, Washington. They've been brewing since 1993. Now, I have done a couple of beers from the Fish Brewing Brewery. One of them was the organic IPA that we did for the organic show, I believe. And the cider is also owned by Fish Brewing that I did, the Spire Mountain.
The cider on the cider show?
Yeah. They're really? Owned by these guys. Yeah.
What was the name of that cider that you did?
The dry something
apple
cider.
Apple fish.
Yeah, apple fish. So this is their winter warmer, 7.5% ABV, 70 IBUs. I'm going to crack it.
That's a bitter seasonal. Bitter? Bittle?
Winter warmer.
Bittle.
Bittle.
Britain.
I love that sound.
Me too. Yeah.
So it pours. Ooh, I got really a nice fat Yeti finger right there.
Awesome.
I'd say so, yeah.
Off-white, frothy heads, a couple of big bubbles in there. Color is a nice orange color.
Toby, I know you probably already said that. Where are these guys from?
Olympia, Washington.
Washington.
A little hazy, but yeah, straight up orange, like a golden orange color. Very nice. Very nice.
Awesome. It looks really nice on screen.
Yeah.
Is it cloudy or clear?
Yeah, it's
it
a little cloudy. A little bit, yeah.
Your beer is quite photogenic.
Mm-hmm. On the niz.
The nails.
Ooh, citrus.
Yes, it really was.
Pine. Nice. The hops are right there on top. Oh, yeah. Like a lemon zest and an orange zest combined along with some pine. The hops they use are actually it's a Yakima Chinook. They use it in the kettle as well as the hop back. So this is dry hop, so to speak. The malts are pale and honey. And this is available October through March. So there's this there's this nice cracker. It's like if you had a like a whole wheat cracker or something like that with some hops on top. It smells really good.
A whole wheat cracker with some hops on top.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna take a
not
sip.
For Brittany.
One bitter cracker. You know, bitter ass cracker.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Yeah, big citrus, like very orangey, and then it gets rounded out in the end with this like really astringent pine, but you still get the sweet oranginess in the middle. So it's mostly hops. I mean, it's pretty well balanced, a little bit on the hoppy side, but yeah, the hops are riding front seat on this one. But yeah, it's like,
would I be wrong in saying that the Chinook hops is probably more piney because of where it's grown?
No, it depends. There's so many different varieties that all of them, doesn't matter where they're grown. Unlike, well, no, I don't know if grapes are like that. It depends on where they grow,
what kind of flavors they give off. It's absolutely like that with grapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it would matter the variety of the grape and then where it's
grown,
right?
And then how
the
bee, how it's pollinated. So, like, if you have grapes growing with, like, honeysuckles, so just, you know, like, just for the sake of argument here, then, and bees are in your area and they're pollinating the honeysuckle plants with the grapes, then you're going to get honeysuckle in the...
True.
Flavors of the grapes, of the wine, or whatever, it's going to come through. It might be subtle, it might be strong, depending on how much of that, you know, you get, but it absolutely makes a difference. So I'm just curious and wondering, maybe, because there's so much evergreen stuff going on up there in Washington, if that Chinook hops that's grown in Washington, or Yakima, is that what you said?
Yeah, it's like the Yakima Valley.
Right. Yakima Valley. Because there's so much evergreen there, and then perhaps there's maybe some evergreen cross-pollination or... pollination with the hops, that maybe there's that wintergreeny taste or piney taste.
I've never really thought about it like that, but yeah, I could see that totally.
Because there's a lot of northern, you know, like the northern brewer hops that there's lots of northwestern hops that do have a very piney aspect to it.
See, I'm here for a reason.
There's all different varieties that are grown in a certain region, you know, like in Oregon and Washington, lots of hop farms up there, and they grow all different strains.
Right.
So I could see if you were able to discern, you know, a Northwest Chinook hop from, you know, a Chinook hop that was grown in Nebraska or something like that.
Right. You know? Granted, you would have to have like an extremely amazing palate to pick that up.
Which
I don't think
not.
I could. Yeah, I don't think that I could like pick up beer has hops that was grown in Washington, and this, you
we'll
know, I've,
that,
there's no way
we'll
that
leave
I
that
could
to the
pick
craft
that.
Beer radio guys.
Hell yeah. But I just thought that might be why it tastes so piney to you. I mean, you're picking up a lot of the hops, you're picking up a lot of the pine. Maybe that might be, I don't know, theory. That's all.
Yeah, this is, I wouldn't really consider this to be a winter warmer, but it's a great IPA. Like, it's a fantastic IPA. And if I was to try their IPA next to this one, I wonder what I would think. Because I wonder if this one would have, you know, I mean, this is 7.5%, whereas their IPA was probably more around 6 or 5%. So maybe that's the difference, is they bumped up the malt character and they bumped up a little bit of the ABV to go with all the hops. But yeah, this is pretty tasty for a food pairing.
Pancakes. Kidding. I'm just kidding.
I think this would go good with like some Thai food or any kind of like Asian dish. Chinese food, Thai food, nothing too spicy. This doesn't really have any spice to it. It's more of like a citrusy pininess. So I don't know, maybe like an orange chicken Chinese dish or something like that, you know. That'd be good. Rate Beer gave this a 94 out of 100 with a B+ from the Beer Advocate users. And the bros chimed in with a B.
Wow.
So yeah, this is the Fishtail. That's Fishtail, T-A-L-E. Fishtail Organic Winter Fish. It's their winter release. fishbrewing.com is the website.
Woo-hoo. And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Brittany to drink some beer and tell us what she thinks.
Yeah, Brittany.
Yeah.
What you got?
I've got... Okay, I totally scored, first of all. I have to say, one of my girlfriends, Laura, who lives here in Denver, her and I went out to dinner last night, and she took me to this place called Lucas Liquor. It's L-U-K-A-S Liquor. And I'm telling you, if you're in Denver and you need any type of alcohol, this is the place to go. Because it's like a warehouse, but like better. I can't even like describe it. They have this whole like 16-foot section of singles, and you can build your own six-pack for $9. And the entire case, this whole 16-foot section, is all singles of craft beer.
Cool.
It's amazing. And you can buy, like, I got my beer, both of my beers for tonight for less than $5.
Awesome.
So each one is like $2. So you can go and like try six different beers for $9 plus tax. I mean, and I think the tax here is stupid, like 4% or something like that. So like for less than $10, you can try six different craft beers. It's amazing. Lucas Liquor, L-U-K-A-S. I don't know if they have a website. I'm sorry. I'm not prepared. I didn't check. But
cool. We'll give them a shout out. Last call. And you'll come up with the...
I was really, really, really impressed with this place. And the guys there are super, super, super knowledgeable about their inventory. So on top of having the amazing selection that they had, the staff was knowledgeable beyond my wildest dreams. Like, he knew exactly what I needed, exactly where it was. It was all just really great. So Lucas Liquor, Greenwood Village, I think, is where it is. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Denver, Colorado, wherever. I don't know. Anyway, I was super impressed. Service was great. Selection was great. Go there if you're in Denver. So... Oh. I am drinking this week Blue Moon Winter Abbey Ale. I was super excited to find a beer that was from Colorado because I'm in Colorado.
Yeah.
And, Mike and Toby enlightened me about this particular Blue Moon thing. I love Blue Moon in general, and I didn't know this until just recently. But Blue Moon is brewed by, now correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but brewed by Coors, or put out by Coors Brewing Company.
They're owned by Coors.
They're owned by Coors Brewing Company, but they have a brewer that they just kind of let him do what he wants to do.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because he obviously does a fantastic job. and it kinda has, I love Blue Moon beer anyway. So.
Carte blanche, if you will. To do kind of...
Yeah, so what's his name again? Jason...
John...
John Legnard. Legnard. Yeah. Is the brewmaster there.
Brewmaster.
This is... Yeah. Not as good as the brewmaster that I live with, though. Oh. We must clear that up.
Of course.
I live with, like, the world's greatest brewmaster. Yeah.
Schaefer Brewing Company.
So let's not get that confused. So, apparently this is a double.
So that's why you're on the show.
Hello. Are we just now figuring that out, Toby? Welcome.
Wow.
Oh, Toby. Welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast.
Mike, can you explain to me what that means again, the double?
Here we go.
Belgian double.
I'm sorry.
There's different Belgian styles with the Abbeys usually refer to as doubles, and they also have triples and quadruples as well.
And what's the difference between the different ones?
As you go up the line, basically it's going to be higher ABV and sweeter, bigger beers. I should have had the beer jargon explain all that stuff, but oh well.
All right, so the ABVs on this one is 5.6. The IBUs I couldn't find.
Well, there shouldn't be too much in there anyway if it's a double.
Yeah. I don't think if there's any that... It wouldn't be much anyway, so...
A whopping six, like our last beer was.
Can I crack it? Oh, I'm going to crack it with my room service... what do you call this?
Room beer service? Bottle opener? I like the church
key. Yeah, I called room
like
service, and I'm like, hey, I need a beer opener, beer bottle opener. And he's like, I'll be right there, 1 minute. And so he brought it up, and I got a beer bottle opener, so...
The church key is actually awesome. The best name.
Church key, right.
Yeah.
That's what I said initially, but I thought I was wrong. I thought a church key was the one that opens, like... cans.
Yeah. It's well, you, the, well, you yeah, might be right. But
Yeah, just, the church key is the one that opens the can. But it's
the fact
it's
that a church reversible. Key is known for opening alcohol.
Yeah, awesome. It's got
that's
a bottle
all awesome,
opener,
all in itself. Exactly.
Bottle opener on one side and a can opener on the other side.
All right, so I'm gonna crack it. Ready? Here we go. it's not
she
working.
She can't open it.
God damn it!
I always thought that Church Key Ouch. Brewing Company would be a sweet name.
Awesome name, yeah.
All right.
Probably already
that
taken.
Wasn't a very graceful crack.
Yeah.
But I got it open. Ready?
We're ready.
Yep.
In my hotel.
Church Key Brewing Company,
glass.
Ontario.
Ontario. Well, that doesn't count.
Canadians.
This is not as red as the solstice, the winter solstice from Anderson Valley. It's definitely more brown. It's got a really nice orange hue there. It's super clear. It's not as... You remember how I said on the winter solstice it looked like they had pearls like sticking to the side of the glass and the carbonation? This one doesn't have that. It's just got a nice, stable head. It's about one of my fingers, which I have relatively small fingers, so half a Yeti finger. And it's a really nice-looking beer so far. Let's see what it smells like in my nose. You say on the nose. I'm going to say in my nose. Okay?
Sure.
Do what you want.
I get lots of malt.
This is your tasting flight. You do what you want.
It smells really sweet and fresh. I don't smell hops at all, which kind of bums me out because I like the smell of hops. I just don't like the bitter. I don't want to say caramel because everything we've tasted tonight seems to have some kind of a caramel note in there. But that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the style... well, this one was... It's a winter Abbey, so it you know,
man.
I'm assuming that it's kind of like a darker version
Look,
of an Abbey.
The head is like gone already.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, I'm taking a sip. Ready?
Ready. Oh, wait. Oh, I wasn't taking ready. A sip,
yeah. It's really bland.
That's
it's
beer
crisp.
Coasters first.
Like, it's really clean, but it's bland. Like,
crisp
it's like,
clean.
It's definitely drinkable. I mean, I wouldn't say no to it if you offered it to me.
That's what they all say.
Oh God, Toby, really?
Sorry, Brittany, you're on the show, and this stuff is just gonna happen.
Yep,
it's gonna happen. It's out of our hands.
This is a beer coasters.
Okay, it's
Stupid
definitely
puns,
drinkable.
Cheesy jokes, lowbrow comedy.
It's definitely
it's
crisp.
All here.
I get lots of. Oh, would you let me finish talking about my beer,
nope,
please?
We interrupt
you
too. That's part of the show.
Yeah, that's part of the show. Where have you been? Jeez.
God.
It feels like I get lots of like bubble action after the fact on my tongue, like from the carbonation.
Bubble
Shut
action.
Up.
No, I like that. I That's like cool. That. Bubble
like there's
action.
Lots of like it's like it still fizzes on my tongue after the fact. And I don't know if I like that.
Is it like a champagne-y kind of carbonation where it just keeps going?
Like a Coca-Cola carbonation.
Oh, wow.
Like almost too much.
It zaps your tongue.
Now I know why she said in
it's
the
malty.
Nose.
I don't. Would you call this lacing? I don't think this is lacing at all.
Yeah, lacing, there's some lacing
if you
going
get
on there.
Every sip, you should... No, that's not lacing. Every sip,
no,
you should get
not.
Kind of
there's
a ring
some.
Around the glass.
Well,
and it should kind of stick
some.
There.
It's sticking a little bit.
I don't know if I'd
call
it
a little
bit.
But only after I take a sip. I would pair this because it's really refreshing and it reminds me of something kind of like lunchy or kind of like late lunch type of a, I would say like maybe a Reuben.
Right.
With a really nice crispy sauerkraut and that Thousand Island dressing on it.
Yeah.
With the rye bread. I think it would be really good with this beer. I would also, pickles, honestly. I think it would be really
That's
good
interesting.
With like a really crispy,
know.
Like kosher. Oh, Mike and Toby, have you guys been to DZ Akins in San Diego?
Yeah, a long time ago.
You know those pickles that they have at the table? Those pickles would be good with this beer.
Interesting.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, like I said, it's drinkable. It's really crisp, and there's like way a lot of carbonation, like almost too much for my taste. For somebody like me, who is really sensitive to flavor in beer, I really like it. If it was any bitter or any more bitter, it's not really bitter at all, actually, but if it was bitter at all, I wouldn't like it. But I don't know. I'm rambling now. I'd be okay with drinking this. I could probably have a couple of them and not even think twice about it. Rate Beer gave this a 38 out of 100.
Whoa.
Beer Advocate users give it a C+, and the Ahlstrom Brothers give it a D+. So it doesn't seem to me like this beer is very is embraced by the,
craft beer community.
Yeah. But I think it's all right. I mean, it's drinkable. It's better than
Coors.
The big box brewing. Yeah. Definitely better than Coors Light.
Oh, that's good. I think we judge everything by that. It's better than Coors Light, so.
Yeah, yeah. There's some pretty good articles online if you Google John Legnard, L-E-G-N-A-R-D. It's an interesting story. So if any of you are interested, you should probably check it out.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada. With happy hours from 3 to 6 p.m. every day. With an additional happy hour from Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. That's 50% off all appetizers and selective craft beers. Aces and Ales, wide variety of craft beer on draft and bottles. Make sure you stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com to print out your free pint coupon. That's Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, East Side, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Mike.
What are you looking at?
It's
you drink your beer already?
Turn. That's right. This is my tasting flight. I'm going to try Cisco's Winter Shredder.
What that makes me think of is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, yeah. Dude.
Nice. Except
oh, God.
I was going to say the scene from...
a snowman on a snowboard.
But I was going to say the scene from Fargo, but that's...
Heroes in a Half Shell. Turtle power.
Yeah. So this is their winter ale. It's an ale brewed with natural spices, as opposed to those synthetic kind. This brewery is Cisco Brewers out of Nantucket, Massachusetts, but I believe they are under license from the Ipswich Ale Brewing Company. Sweet. And they were founded by Dean and Melissa Long back in 1997 on Nantucket Island. Their website is www.ciscobrewers.com. That's Cisco, C-I-S-C-O. And they do not have this beer on their website yet. It's their new winter release, and it's not even up on the site.
Now,
why do they call it
Cisco?
Cisco Brewing Company. That's, I don't know the history behind that. I guess I should go
look that up. Because, you know, like Chris, he used to live near Cisco, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought, and,
like maybe
you know,
there's something that has to do with Cisco.
Well, I don't
and
think of
Island.
Anything but sure. Yeah. Food service when I think of Cisco. Food service.
Yeah.
And yeah. Also...
computers too, right?
Computers, yeah. Right.
So I have no ABV on this beer. I have no IBUs on this beer. I'm just going to crack it.
Do yeah. It.
Nothing.
Your crack was way better than mine.
There's a lot of jokes there.
That's a total outtake right there.
I'm going to leave that one alone. This pours a little darker than everything else we've been drinking so far here. Still kind of a... it's bordering on brown. It would be considered kind of a pretty light brown ale.
Let me see.
Kind of hard. You can't really see it.
Oh, yeah.
It looks darker on screen.
It's really dark on the screen. You're right. What do you get with the light coming through it?
It's
just brown.
Brown, just kind of a lighter brown, some red highlights, like amber, kind of shining through the bottom of the glass.
The head looks nice. It's a nice
like
coffee.
Like a perfect finger of a head.
Yeah, it looks like espresso-ish.
All right, on the nose. Woo!
That must be a good Michael thing Jackson's or a really back. Bad
on
thing.
On the nose, it smells like...
Stank?
Cannabis. What?
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
No kidding.
With spices.
Cannabis and spices. So it's like a Christmas weed.
Yeah.
And a little bit of pine in there, too. That?
Christmas weed. Christmas weed? Forget the garland. We got some Christmas weed up in this mansion.
Yeah, it's like a very piney.
Are you kidding? You really smell weed?
Yeah, it's like a that like and pine, that. And then I'm starting as the head's kind of dissipating a little bit. It's dissipating really slowly because it's actually kind of a thicker, creamier head. I'm getting a little bit of some type of spice. Kind of hard to discern through all that stuff because it's really, I mean, the pine and that. That kind of like permeates your sinuses. It's pretty strong.
Well, you know, Brittany, just drink it. Cannabis and hops
are related. Are cousins, yes, yeah. They're cousins.
They're like cousins. Yeah.
So it's not surprising, but I've never heard anybody describe a beer smelling like weed like that before.
Yeah, especially a dark beer like that. Usually, it's more of like when you get into the lighter, like IPAs and stuff like that, where the certain hops that they use
the will give off pale ales and stuff,
will give off that real sack of weed smell.
Taking a sip,
kind of tastes a little bit like it, too.
Really?
With, with some wood, almost like a...
The stems.
Like a... it's got a very stem... like
we're going to get in trouble
like
for this
the roof of the mouth, you're getting almost like a tree bark... Or
sticky sappy,
a dried stem kind of
sticky icky,
but it's not quite sticky. It's kind of dry, and then really kind of a powdery maltiness that's kind of in there too. But
how's that feel in your mouth?
It's really, it's really dry.
I'm actually not even going to touch
everything just kind of dries up. The hop bitterness and everything about this beer just kind of dries right up on you.
So it's that, which makes sense with the pungent, like, piney.
Yeah.
Makes me
piney
think.
Pot.
Right.
Ooh, I just found something.
It makes sense. What'd you find? Did you get some seeds in
something
there?
Something kind of vegetable. Man, this is...
is it weird?
Yeah. It's starting to get weird. Now that the head is kind of almost gone...
So this is their winter warmer?
This is a winter warmer, and it's really, it tastes kind of like a very fall, like a hoppy harvest type beer.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't taste like a winter warmer. It doesn't have those, that caramely, malty, spicy notes that you look for in a winter warmer. It's very hoppy.
What's the IBUs on that one?
I have nothing. I have no information on it. It's not on the website. It's not on... speaking of which, I guess I'll jump right to it. There's no... It's not on Beer Advocate. It's not on Rate Beer. It's kind
which
of...
Which is an awesome beer for you to do.
It's
get
their new...
Get it some airtime.
Brand new
here.
Beer from them. And it's, like I said, it's not even on their website yet, so they didn't even put it on the website before they even released it.
Well, they have that hype... what is it? The Winter Libation? What's that one about?
I don't know. The last one I had from them was last year. Was it Santa's Beard?
Oh, Celebration Libation, which looks like a winter something.
I had Santa's Beard, the B-E-E-R apostrophe D.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that one fared a little better than this one's doing here. But there's just some strange things going on. Now I'm getting kind of a little bit of sour. It's kind of strange. I wouldn't even know what to pair with this. Maybe just because of the holidays. If you'd like deep fry a turkey, something like that, might go all right with
really?
This.
Really? That doesn't...
Well, it's tough because, I don't know, when you smell weed, you don't want to have some deep fried turkey. Should I pair it with pizza or like Doritos or...
No, like raw oysters or something.
Yeah. I'm not a shellfish guy. I can't do it.
Well, you don't eat shellfish?
I don't.
No.
I like fish. Really? I like fish, but I don't. I'm not a big fan of shellfish. Then
wouldn't you pair it with a fish, maybe? Like a mild, like a white fish, like a tilapia or a mahi-mahi or a salmon.
Like a white fish. We have a haddock up here, and it's a very, very white, light fish. That would be all right with this beer, yeah. It's, although, you know, haddock's pretty light flavor, and I'm not sure
how. Well, that's what I mean. Like, you would want something light, like maybe like a rice pilaf with the fish, and then
like a
maybe
wild rice sounds interesting.
Right, right.
With the, yeah, something like that would be.
Like a wild rice pilaf and the fish, and maybe like a.
We're piecing together the food pairing here. I like this. A food pairing collaboration. Going I like it.
And then that really pungent beer might kind of boost up the mild dish that you would be eating, you know.
But even like the earthy tones of, you know, something like a wild rice and
the wild rice maybe, and the yeah
maybe even like a duck and some wild Ooh. rice. I'm gonna do that.
Hell yeah. I like that.
Duck and wild rice.
Yeah, I like that. Good
roast duck, that's my food pairing.
Peking
boiled so, goose.
I would say go check this beer out on their website, but it's not on their website, but they do have quite a few more beers on their website, so check out their website. It's ciscobrewers.com.
Jay Naz says, "For he so loved the world that he gave all his self-respect, that whosoever buyeth him a beer should not become ill." Tweet of the week,
yeah. Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline.
So our first piece of backwash, this is about our Porter's show, supporters discussion from Tony over there at Beer 411. He says, "What up, Beer Coasters? To go That's along us. With your to go along with your Porter's with issue episode, I wanted to let you guys know."
I didn't realize how funny that is. Porter's with issues.
Yeah. Get that. I wanted to let you guys know that I am attempting my very first homebrew for the holiday season. We're taking on oatmeal stout recipe. We're taking an oatmeal stout recipe, but adding some French oak cubes that have been soaking in Jim Beam's Devil's Cut bourbon for over a month. My girlfriend works at an awesome restaurant called Plan B in Milford, which specialized in burgers, craft beer, and you guessed it, bourbon. Devil's Cut is one of her favorites, so we're all really anxious to see how this batch comes out. On the blogging front, my cousin Katie and I will be conducting a Beer 411 winter beer review we'd like to call the 12 Beers of Christmas. Since you guys are on the front lines of all things beer, Katie and I would love to hear if you have any suggestions on some winter beers to look out for this season. Happy holidays, my brothers of the beer world, Tony. Thanks, Tony. That's nice. Awesome.
It is awesome.
Yes. So, yeah.
It's interesting that they call it Plan B, but then I get it now because it's bourbon, burgers, beer, Plan B.
There you go.
But it caught me off guard a little bit at first.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Well, what I thought was interesting, the French oak cubes, because I've heard of the oak spirals people have used that actually adds...
Or chips.
Actually works pretty good. Oh, the chips too, yeah. But I didn't know... They actually have cubes, and I wonder if the cubes may absorb more of that alcohol to kind of use, you know, for the beer. Sounds interesting.
That is interesting.
Well, what you guys, what suggestions would you guys have for some winter beers to look out for?
Well, I think Anchor Christmas is always, always a good one to kind of, you know, around the holidays. There's one that it's interesting that I wanted to try that I haven't seen yet. It's a Scottish beer. I know we do mostly American beers here on the show,
mostly.
But it's Innis & Gunn, and it's a Scottish winter beer that they age in rum barrels. And, I'm really curious because I really think that not enough breweries do stuff in rum barrels, and I think rum barrels really lend themselves well to beers. Because I really think that rum is much better than even bourbon, you know, in some cases. So that's personal opinion.
He mentioned homebrew, and Ty really wants to perfect his, oatmeal stout, but with mint in it, like a peppermint oatmeal stout. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, or chocolate. Was it a porter? Help me. What was he saying earlier when we were talking to him?
Chocolate porters are usually pretty good.
Yeah, chocolate porter, but chocolate mint porter, maybe?
Mint with stouts,
yeah. So if you're playing with, like, homebrew type recipes and you want to really, like, get, you know, branch out or whatever, throw some mint in there or figure out how you can get mint in there without making it awful. Because mint is really tricky, I think, when you're messing around with it. You can't use too much of... If you use extract, you can't use too much extract because it'll be, like, too much in your face. And, unfortunately, the mint, the fresh mint, doesn't lend enough of the mint flavor to the beer unless you use a whole crap ton of it. So I think that might be a really fun combination, like a chocolate mint.
Chocolate mint or spearmint.
Ty really wants to perfect that recipe of his. So he's been working on that for a couple of years now, but we're still working on that. So if you guys ever find a seasonal beer, like a winter beer that's a chocolate mint fill in the blank.
I have one, actually. I almost picked one up. The same company who makes a milk stout, and I can't think of the company now. If I think of it before last call or at last call, I'll pull it up for you.
Okay.
But they do make a mint stout, and I want to say, I can't remember what type of mint it is, but it is a mint stout.
Of course, I'm always a big fan of the Celebration. Yeah. You know,
that's why I didn't say it, because I knew Toby was gonna.
Every year, you know, Celebration. I don't really think of it as. It's funny because I mean, yeah, I can see it as a winter warmer, but it's just a great IPA. And Mike mentioned the Anchor Christmas beer, the our special ale, the Happy New Year and Merry Christmas beer. They change up the recipe every year, but it's funny because if you try them, they are very similar, but they're different. It's funny because it seems like they're using the same kind of ingredients with tweaking it just slightly every year. Delicious. I mean, it's weird because it doesn't even really taste like beer to me. It's a beast all on its own. It's totally different. It's just spicy and very reminiscent of the holidays, and it's just great. And it's classic. It's one of those classic holiday beers. Been around since like 75. And then of course the Yule Smith from Alesmith.
One of my favorites.
That's always something that I can't get here in Vegas, but you know, if I'm ever in San Diego or Southern California.
I bet you they have it here. I swear to God, that selection was the biggest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Mike, didn't you tell me that Colorado was a really big craft brewing community?
Yeah, Denver. Yeah, Denver specifically, yeah.
Yeah,
you get Breckenridge and Fort Collins and, there's quite a few out of Colorado. And it was funny because we always tell Chris, you know, where he couldn't find, you know, beers in the middle of the country, we gave him Colorado. It's like, well, you always have Colorado to kind of, you know, fall back on as far as the craft beer goes, because there's just so many coming out of Colorado. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, probably the laws in Colorado as far as, you know, brewing and distributing and whatnot. But, it's a big craft beer state.
All right, what's our next piece of backwash?
Our next piece of backwash is... Thanks again for the great episode. You were complaining about the lack of backwash. Is that so strange? Last time, Mike had trouble reading mine because of the broken English, so now I have a dictionary when I do this, and it takes forever. No spelling program on computer. Winky emoticon. I'm a big Porter Stout fan, so I was inspired by the last episode, but as usual, there's a big trouble for me to get hold of the beers you have on the show. Have you had Serpent's Stout by Lost Abbey on the show? And when are you going to have a Swedish issue? I will, of course, provide you with beers from Sweden to show my gratitude that you guys do for this for free. And at last, a big shout out to Crazy Dave, who doing a great job as your new sidekick slash member. Thanks, guys. Best regards, Malt. Just mail me if you ever want that free Swedish beers. You know you will taste them before the Brothers of Beer Advocate.
Nice.
Awesome. Wow. Gotta love that. Gotta so love that.
Sweet. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Do we have his name? Is his name Malt?
Malt Porter, yeah.
Well, that's like his username. That's
his, like, yeah, his call sign. Well,
we know him as Malt Porter.
Yeah.
He's part of the Swedish beer geek clan.
Yep.
Sweet. Yeah, there's a Hi, Malt. Group.
I love how he calls Crazy Dave a sidekick.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Sidekick.
He's totally sidekick.
Our trusty sidekick.
Sweet.
For the Serpent Stout, yes, we did actually, we have a recording of the Serpent Stout from Lost Abbey from May of 2011. May of 2011, Mike actually came out to Las Vegas.
That's right, and, for the barbecue.
Yeah, we had our own little beer barbecue thing, and I had a bottle, or somebody brought a bottle of the Serpent Stout. I think it was Charlie. And I remember loving it. I don't know if anybody else liked it. We have it recorded, and it's just kind of sitting there waiting to be used for a show. But I will put that out eventually, one of these days. But yeah, that's a good one from Lost Abbey, which is crazy for Lost Abbey to do a beer like that, because normally everything they do is Belgian.
Very Belgian-y.
And, you know, wheat beers and whatnot. But for them to do a stout, and they knock that one out of the park, in my opinion. Yeah. So,
anyway. Well, in Belgian style stouts, I don't know. They're always a big hit with me. But I wanted to address the Swedish issue, and
yes,
I'm gonna kind of let you in on a little inside information here. Next month we were going to do an international beer, because I know we do mainly American craft beers, but next month, next year in January, we're gonna do an international beer month. So we were totally up for doing a Swedish beer week. So we will get in contact with you, and we'll try to kind of put together some Swedish beers for the show. So
totally
look for that soon.
Awesome.
What was it called? The Beer Coasters International? Was that what we were going to
call
it?
World Tour, right?
Oh, World Tour.
World Tour, yeah.
The Beer Coasters World Tour.
Yeah. Awesome.
Woo, part one. Thank you, Malt Porter.
Thanks, Malt.
And Tony from Beer 411.
Tony. Yeah.
And, you know, Tony, I know the list as far as the winter beers, you know, runs pretty deep. For some reason, kind of drawing a blank. But, there's so many, you know, winter beers. Kind of a fans of, you know, fans of the winter styles for sure. Stouts and porters and winter warmers.
All right, everybody. Last call.
All right. Last call. Pint ratings. Toby, what you got?
Okay. Anderson Valley Winter Solstice. This is a super tasty beer. I love the cookie aspect.
Ooh,
I love
cookie.
The sweetness. I love the drinkability.
That's a great description, Toby. Good job.
The butteriness. Yes. I love the fact that you could drink it with breakfast and not feel bad about it. So I'm going to go with 4 pints. Really, really like this one. For my one word, I'm going to say breakfast.
Nice.
For the Fish Brewing's Fishtail Organic Winter Fish. Oh, did I mention that it was organic?
Yes. I don't remember you saying that, but I might be wrong.
Yes. So far, these guys, for me, Fish Brewing, 2 for 2. They put out some great beer so far. They've got a great IPA. They've got this great winter fish. I really, really like it. 4.5. This one is super
tasty.
Wait,
4.5 out of 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not perfect, but still awesome. It had some really... towards the end, it picked up some spiciness to it, which I really liked. It still had that orangey zestiness, really sweet orange, and the pininess from the hops. It was really, really nice. So I'm going 4.5, and my one word is tasty fish.
That's two words.
No, it's one word.
We do that all the time.
That's awesome. Awesome. All right. Awesome fish.
Brittany, what's your pint ratings?
Okay, the winter solstice, I was pleasantly surprised. Anderson Valley, if I remember correctly, the last time I had any beers from them, I was really like, I don't know, I've been on the show enough times that the people, the regular listeners would know that I'm really sensitive to big, giant beers. Like, I don't, that's just not my thing. And it's all subjective. So for me, I just really expected this to be one of those for me, like one of those like, ugh, I can't handle all that flavor. It's just too much for me. But this one was really like, it was really sweet. It was really smooth. It was really creamy. It was really caramelly. It had a lot of fragrance, but it wasn't overpowering. It was a really good beer. I really liked it. And I'm going to go with Toby's same pint rating of 4. Cool. As for the Blue Moon, it's drinkable. It's good. It's clean. It's crisp. It's definitely too carbonated. I went back and read the notes on that beer and noticed that they also said it was too carbonated. So I was kind of surprised that somebody agreed with me for once. It's a drinkable. I would definitely qualify this as one of those girl beers. You know, like anybody could drink it. I'm sorry. Gosh, that sounds really bad.
Yeah, it does, especially coming from a girl.
Sorry, sorry. No, but for you
we
know,
did,
if somebody's
we did not
just
tell her to say that.
Let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. I take it back. Let me rephrase it. If somebody's just getting into craft beer, I think this is kind of like one of those beers you could go to. It's not like overpowering. It's got a lot of flavor, but it's not, you know, pulling on your tongue and like ripping your vocal cords out or anything like that. It's just easy to drink, so it's really good. I'm gonna say 2.5.
That's not bad. That's middle of the road. Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, 2.5. So I like it. It's okay.
Well, for me, the Anderson Valley Winter Solstice, still great. I mean, I remember this beer quite some time ago.
Still great.
I don't remember
after
it being
all these years.
It wasn't as big as I remembered it, but I think that's just because of all the beers I've had since then that have been much bigger and bolder. The flavors were great. The creaminess of Anderson Valley is just kind of that buttery aspect is just, it's so Anderson Valley to do that type of thing. And with the spices and the caramely malts, it's great. I'm giving it a 5 because I really, really mainly it's because of it's kind of a sense memory thing that this used to be one of my favorites, and now that I kind of revisited it, it's not quite the same, but I still love the beer, and so I'm giving it.
It's really good.
This is one of those beers that can pull somebody out of bed and come down to the local bar if they have it on tap. One of those, you know.
Ooh, on cask.
For my
dude,
oh,
on
this
cask?
On cask would be just ridiculous.
Yum.
Yeah. This would be like syrup, like breakfast pancakes.
Oh, yum. Okay, move on before I start. I'm going to go order pancakes from freaking room service.
For my one word, I'm going to call it caramel ale.
Oh, I didn't do one word.
Caramel ale.
I just realized.
You can
realized.
Think about it if you want.
Okay, I'll think about we'll it. Go, Mike. It. Okay, go.
For the Winter Shredder from Cisco, man, overwhelming kind of piney pot aromas. I mean, there's really nothing else to kind of describe it. Man, I mean, and that's kind of my one word for this too. Is just
pot?
Piney pot.
Piney pot.
It wasn't balanced. It was all kind of bitter with the pine and almost like this tree barky kind of stuff that just kind of dry on the tongue. I didn't like the balance of this at all. Is it
weird that I really want to taste that beer right now?
No, it's not weird at all.
Like, I want to like experience all these like crazy things that you're experiencing with that beer.
Toby said a beer tastes like a sandwich once, and as bad as it sounded, it's like, I need to try this beer because I've never had a beer that tastes like a sandwich.
I know.
So, yeah, this one I got to give it. I'm going to give this one a 2.
All right.
I almost want to give it a 2.5 because I can drink it, you know.
Drink it out of curiosity more than anything else, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, got to figure out, like, what the shit is in this thing. Sorry.
There wasn't enough of the spice character. There wasn't enough maltiness, bitterness, but no.
But not from hops? Was it bitter not from hops?
Well, I think it was from hops. It didn't have any of the malt to balance it out. None of the spices. Didn't have a winter. It wasn't, you know, to style at all. I know we don't usually judge stuff to style, but this, I kind of have to in this case. It just wasn't anything like any kind of winter warmer, you know, that I know of. So, anyway. So that's that.
I'm at a loss for my one-word descriptions. So okay. I'm just going to say for Blue Moon, I'm going to say Jack. And Winter Solstice, I'm going to say Frost.
Okay.
So there you go.
Aww.
Did you know that you guys can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Untapped and Google Plus?
Untapped?
Yes.
No way.
You can subscribe to us on iTunes. And we're also on Callisto.fm. So check us out in many, many different ways.
And please stop by the website if you haven't already. It's www.beercoasterspodcast.com. While you're there, click on the shop link. Buy some swag, help support the show. And you can also check out the Brews Paper. It's a daily newspaper filled with fun craft beer related stories as well as non craft beer related stories.
Yes. Every once in a while, some strange video or music gets in there.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends' friends. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. And don't forget to support your local brewery, your brew pubs, beer bars, etc. Why, Mike? Why would I do that?
Because you want to drink local.
Local is fresh.
Is fresh.
All right.
That's right. Don't drink and drive, because that's just dumb. A reminder to all our listeners out there, this is your show. We're just drinking in it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Shout out.
That was lame.
I want to give a shout out to Bitox. This is the makers of the hangover patch. And we got some, the Beer Coasters got some samples from Bitox. And we just want to give Bitox a shout out.
Sweet.
And go to, if
check
you guys are interested in a hangover patch, it is Bitox, BYTOX.com.
And I want to give a shout out to Natasha Tygart. Thanks for hitting us up on the website. Thanks for checking out our Porters With issue.
A whole hour.
Yeah.
She dealt with it. And Tony at Beer 411. Thanks.
Awesome. Yeah.
We appreciate all your backwash.
Hope the beer comes out good.
And Lucas Liquor in Denver. Have to say, you got to go there if ever you're in this area. It's a great place. The guys are very knowledgeable. The whole staff is super helpful. I didn't have to wait long for anything. It was, and the selection was amazing. So Lucas Liquor in Denver. I think it's in Greenwood Village. I might be wrong, but it's, you'll find it.
Somewhere in Colorado.
And of course, my darling sweet beer master, Ty Schaefer.
Yeah,
and Malt Porter. Yeah,
giving
and
us
Malt
some,
Porter.
Yeah. Off mic.
Thanks, Malt Porter.
Advice on some home brewing winter stuff. So we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, honey.
Thanks, Malt Porter.
Yeah. Swedish beers.
We'll be in touch.
Coming next month. Nice.
Woohoo.
Cheers. That's it for this
Cheers,
week's episode
night,
of the Beer Coasters Podcast.
Next week, have breakfast with us.
That's right.
Here we go. It's not working. God damn it. Ouch. Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power.
Forget the garland. We got some Christmas weed up in this match.
We're going to get in trouble for this one.
It's starting to get weird.
Your crack was way better than mine.